This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, we're all putting best team in the league debates on the shelf in a box for the time being. The Bills go from absolute domination of the Jaguars and the Dolphins before that to a beating of their own at the hands of the Ravens last night, 35-10. Eric Wood was at this game and joins us now on the West Her Hotline for his regular Monday visit. Hi, Eric.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. So were we all crazy last week to think that the Bills were, you know, as close to perfect as a team can look in the NFL? I mean, I know this is the league, but just what did we learn last night that maybe we could, there could be some things we were taking for granted? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there's some obvious improvements that need to happen on both sides of the ball. Last night's what happens when you go into someone's hostile environment, a good team, desperate to get back to 2-2, and not that you're not going in fully prepared, but when you play a team like that and you really don't have your A game on either side of the ball, it can get out of hand quickly, and that's what we saw. This is a Bills run defense that got exposed last night. The Ravens can certainly do that. They're maybe one of one in the league that have, you know, just this truly unique style of having just tons of power in their backfield when you consider the fact that their fullback and running back weigh more than anybody else on our entire defense, maybe outside of our defensive tackles. So defensive side of the ball really struggled to stop the run. That opened up some second-level passing windows, and then when you get very condensed, they had great answers with some bubble screens and play-action rollouts on the outside, and then offensively just never got into a rhythm throughout the night. You know, you have that costly drop by Kincaid on the first drive that would have moved the sticks past midfield, and on 4th and 2, we decided to punt, which wasn't necessarily against that at the time. And then, you know, just when you get down in a game like that, you know, you look at the pressure percentages, and Josh was pressured on maybe 44% of dropbacks last night, and you say, wow, the offensive line had a terrible night. Well, I wouldn't say they had their best night, especially on the interior. Gets a couple good interior pass rushers for the Ravens, but you know, you give a defensive coordinator a lot of options when you get the obvious pass situations and you have to deal with the crowd noise. It's harder to communicate and you don't have a whole lot of repercussions by just bringing the house and giving a bunch of goofy looks, and the Bills struggle with that as well.
I want to ask you this as a dude who's just sitting on my couch jamming a sausage royal into my mouth while I'm watching the early games. When the Jets lost to Denver, I felt like, okay, well, tonight's not that big. You know, I've got a little more room than I had when the day started. And, you know, that game was kind of, it was close enough that, you couldn't have assumed it was going to end one way or the other as it was unfolding until really the very end. Is it, and again, this doesn't have to mean anything because the Bills might have just gotten whooped no matter what. If they were in for a whooping, bad matchup, whatever it was. But would you respect at all the Bills, the guys on the team going like, oh, the Jets lost? Like, does that hold any water with you at all?
No, not really. Okay. And just because I guess I've been in similar situations. I wasn't sitting at number one in the power rankings at any point in my career. But, you know, there was – you know, different times where, you know, certain news might get you to take your foot off the pedal either one way or the other. And, and look, you know, you get out there on that field in an environment like it was last night. I mean, heck, I was standing down on the field pregame talking to guys, and I'm like, man, it's easy to get up for this one. This is a big-time atmosphere you're in. And so I don't think so, you know. Were they drained a little bit on a short week? I wouldn't even, you know, give that too much credit that, you know, they played Monday Night Football and then run it back for Sunday Night Football. I honestly just think it was a bad matchup, especially considering the injuries. And, you know, we've gotten away with, you know, that second level of defense being so banged up and not having to adjust at all. You know, we're still playing nickel defense, and then you get a team in an obvious pass situation. Okay, now we're going to get, you know, Dorian Williams out the field. We're going to get in our dime package, and that's our comfort zone. Well, the Ravens are the opposite of our comfort zone right now, especially when you add Derrick Henry into the mix, who is so big. And, you know, it was a wake-up call for this defense. You have two new safeties that didn't appear to fit the run real well. Cam Lewis hasn't had experience going against an offense in Baltimore, which a number of the injured guys have had that experience. And so, you know, it was a tough night. Early on, it looked like the fits just weren't there. And aside from just not getting the right run fits, just not enough wins at one-on-ones. And they came later where you saw penetration on a play, and now Derrick Henry's got to start going east and west and not just straight downhill. I mean, he's going to pick up 8 yards if you let him go forward, just as big as he is, and if he falls forward. Now, if you get him to stutter step, you get him to go east to west, which we saw a little bit later, then that's how you keep him in check. That's how the Bills, the last time they played him, held him to 42 yards, I believe.
Right. He hasn't only had big games against the Bills, but their last bad loss on the road in the regular season, meaning by more than 6 points, is a Derrick Henry game. The 3 touchdowns, or is that even a different game? Actually, it was. I'm getting confused now because there were 2 night games in Tennessee. But anyway, it goes back to October of 2020, since the Bills have lost like badly on the road in the regular season. Eric Wood on the Western Hotline. What else, Eric, maybe from the standpoint of the Bills' offense in this game? Really just unable to get anywhere on the ground with different backs even. And you mentioned a drop. There were a couple of those. I don't know. Is there anything to learn from beyond that, you know, the matchup isn't right? And that's true with the Ravens and a lot of teams, about what went wrong for them offensively.
Yeah, I think offensively, give the Ravens credit, it seemed like they were not going to the best of their ability, they weren't going to give the Bills too much access on the outside to be able to run those bubble screens. The run game wasn't abysmal by any means. It just wasn't super effective. They weren't able to run the ball down their throat. They also weren't able to stick to it just based upon how quickly that game, you know, became 21-3. And so, you know, looking at it, you know, this team got to find some more answers down the field. And they've been able to stay ahead of the chains. They haven't had necessarily the drops that they had last night. We might be having a slightly different conversation if Kincaid catches the ball in the first drive of the game and Keon Coleman catches the over-the-shoulder catch late in the second quarter. We might be having a touch. I still think the Bills lose if they make both those catches. It probably would have just been a tighter game. But, you know, just being able to push the ball down the field more, and part of that was the complex pressures that the Ravens brought. And this is a copycat league, and I'm not saying the Texans are going to completely abort what they do defensively, but you'd be naive to think that Houston isn't sitting here watching this film going, okay, well, let's play a little tighter out there. Let's make these guys prove that they can separate with tight coverage and, you know, bodying these receivers up at the line of scrimmage, you know, shift to your guys, maybe. Let's be really physical with them and then see if we can bring some different pressure looks to try and speed Josh up in the pocket, because you give him enough time up there, you know, you give him enough time in the pocket, he's going to find open guys. He's going to be able to make some plays, but you get him to start running around, panicking a little bit, anybody's going to be brought down to earth a little bit.
Yeah. It almost never felt like it could be their night, Eric. But a moment in the second half of this game where it felt like the Bills had maybe turned the tables. They get a 3-and-out quickly, score themselves. Allen makes an incredible play rolling to his right, right at the edge of the sideline, and throws it down to Shakir, and they score on the next play. So 21-10, get the ball back again, and 2nd-and-7, and that's where the botched Curtis Samuel pitch to Allen play happens. Your thoughts on the play? I mean, we all been in this long enough to know that, you know, something like that works. It's flower time for the coordinator and the players for pulling it off. It doesn't work. It's like, why did you get cute and that kind of stuff? How did you feel in the moment, and how do you feel now with, you know, 20 hours to think about it?
Yeah, I didn't like the call, and obviously I got to see the result of it in real time, but you know, that's a situation where, okay, the Bills go down the field and score on the previous drive, but it took a miraculous throw and Shakir breaking his route off down the field and sneaking behind the defense to set them up in scoring position. So it wasn't like Joe Brady was sitting there like, hey, we put together this nice methodical drive on the last drive.
Right.
You know, we're moving the ball now. You know, to him it was, okay, let's take a chance. And, you know, he's a younger coordinator in this league. He's 35 years old. He'll learn from it, but you know, I think there's so much good that he's done this year, calling plays that, you know, I'm not saying you just ignore it, but you know, we probably don't see that one again.
And yeah,
I don't know. To me, I just didn't love it because put Curtis Samuel at the Wildcat quarterback or a direct snap to him and motion Josh Allen out. We haven't done anything off of that yet this year, so instantly antennas are up all over the place on defense, like, oh, okay, what's coming now? I don't know. I just feel like sometimes those are better.
Yeah.
If we've set that up with that look before, or you're in a normal look and now here comes your trickery when you least expect it. So yeah, I mean, I didn't love it, but that's easy for me to say, you know, sitting here.
Sure. As a player, are there examples like I know how we sound. Oh, you got cute. Oh, I didn't like the play. Oh, what are you doing? You know, horrible timing, that kind of stuff. When it blows up and it doesn't work. As a player, do the players have the same reaction? Like, are the linemen like, what are we doing? Why did we do that? Like, or is it just, you know, do your job?
This is not a cop-out. I think it kind of depends. You know, I think back to maybe the first trick play, I'll say, we ran in the NFL. Now, we had run a good amount of Wildcat my rookie year, but we go down to Tennessee and Fred Jackson throws a touchdown to Lee Evans. We had worked it all week, and we were all pumped up as soon as that play called in the huddle. I don't know if this is a play that they've been running since training camp. They've had tons of success with it, and everyone's excited, and they knew, man, if we can get this back within striking distance, we're pulling out this play that we're all fired up about. If that's the case, I would say there's no grumbling. If it's the case where they didn't have a whole lot of confidence in it, and they weren't that excited from the meeting room, and then it's fouled up in the game, I would imagine there's some grumblings.
With Eric Wood, I mean, I agree completely. What has to be better or different from this game, it's down the field plays, passing plays down the field. This has been, you've said it already, this has been sitting there all season so far, but against Miami and then against Jacksonville, they really only had to play for a half. And, you know, it was only that first game where they came from behind. I wonder, Eric, if the Bills set out to accomplish that, how they do it, or maybe who they turn to. I kind of think they're getting the most they could be out of Shakir. You know, I think he's a nice player, but I doubt he's ready for like twice as many targets, or not even, wouldn't even necessarily be that. Kincaid, to me, is kind of the obvious name, but they're still not really using him in that role too much. I mean, Knox is playing as much or more. I mean, the routes are kind of split. So I don't know if they want to get away from Knox. I mean, they certainly haven't yet.
Yeah, I would say when you look at this downfield passing game and look, yeah, this is the first game that we've been forced to try and push the ball down the field, or that a defensive coordinator has dictated to us saying, we're going to play tight coverage, try and beat us over the top. Let's see if you got it. And so, you know, you brought up great points. I think Shakir remains kind of your underneath guy. And, yes, he can catch a 12-yard route, and he can get yards after the catch. And, you know, he had a long one the other night, but that's kind of him slipping through the coverage.
Yep.
When I look at it and you're looking at, okay, what are great targets down the field? It's either speed because they get down there fast enough, or they're lanky and they can elevate. And so, to me, that would be – your Kincaid, Coleman's, or Hollins has got some size, but the biggest combination, but he's been unable to connect to him on both of his attempts down the field, would be Marquez Valdes-Scantling. And so, you know, this is not going to be an offense that lives and dies by the deep ball, but, you know, some hard play action that draws down some safety, some shots over the top. And Aaron Rodgers used to make these throws, extremely high percentage throws, and I always couldn't believe how easy he would make them look when he was in Green Bay, those back shoulder throws. Josh completed two of them the other night, or last night, to Keon Coleman. They both go for 20-something yards. He did it against Arizona as well. If you got a guy that you leave one-on-one, and as a defense coordinator, you're sitting there thinking, man, if he breaks one tackle, this could go to the house, and, man, they're going to pick up 20-something yards every time we leave him in press man over there. Maybe that deters them from being so aggressive as well.
The Ravens are kind of back here, Eric, with this win. I would say, just trying to put things into some perspective here, looking at the AFC through the first 4 weeks, or most of it anyway. There's still another game tonight, Tennessee and Miami. But Chiefs at 4-0, and they have problems. They lost another key player yesterday in Rashi Rice. Looking at the AFC now versus before we started, I don't know if it's that different. You know, Baltimore did lose a couple games. The Bengals got their first win, so obviously long way to go here. I think overall, probably most Bills fans would take it, what's happened so far.
Yeah, they would take it. They just wouldn't want that one to look like it did, you know.
Yep.
And you know, that's just reality. It's no fun when you get beat down like that and everybody comes out of the woodwork to, you know, talk about where they think the Bills should be better. But, no, looking around the AFC, if Rashi Rice is out for the year, that's a big blow for them. Their obvious number one receiver, the only guy on the team that I believe has double-digit catches on the year, I think I read earlier. And so,
yeah, maybe.
Yeah, so you're talking about a big loss for them. They're already without Pacheco. They've got some injuries. You know, I wouldn't count out Cincinnati, but their defense does not look good at this point right now. And they've moved on from so many guys on the defensive side of the ball. I don't know if they got the horses over there. Baltimore, to me, they were right there with Kansas City. Feel like they blew the Vegas game. And then obviously, they beat the Cowboys. I think they're going to be a strong squad. And then, you know, you got some scrappy teams. Like, I feel like the Chargers are going to play people tight this year. They're going to be able to win enough games. You know, I'm not exactly sure. You know, the Jets sitting at 2-2 right now. They certainly have the talent. If you looked at their roster on paper, you'd think this should be one of the best teams in the AFC, but we'll see if they can get there. And then it could be interesting for me tonight watching the Dolphins here with Huntley tonight. You know, see if he can facilitate better than Skylar Thompson, because I mean, they got so much talent on the offensive side of the football that, you know, you'd think that, you know, if you can just get those guys the ball, get them in a track meet, these guys will be able to make some plays. But that wasn't the case last week.
Well, and the Houston Texans are at 3-1, record as the Bills, and that's who's next here. I don't know. There's a lot of different ways we go here. We only got a couple of minutes left with you, Eric. How much of an effort, if any, do you think there will be internally to make sure guys say the right things about Diggs this week?
Yeah, Sean's pretty... he's pretty in tune to not set other teams up with locker room material. In fact, Josh even kind of started that train last week when he brought up the fact that just because I compliment our guys doesn't mean I'm taking a shot at 14. It was interesting he didn't say his name, but taking a shot at 14. But, yeah, I think Sean's going to make sure they say the right things this week. And I think a lot of those guys in the locker room really liked Stephon Diggs, whether he was an issue or not. It seemed like – and just different guys have had my podcast and whatnot, they generally gush over him as a player. You know, other receivers really appreciated what they learned from him and seemed like he would mentor those guys pretty well. But you know, we'll see if he tries to put on a show this week. And I don't know, at some point I just feel like it's going to implode down there. They just have, I guess with Tank Dell being out right now, things will get more targets. But like, to me, they got so many weapons down there that he's just not going to get the workload that he demanded. And he was so excited to leave and so excited to maybe get the ball more, more targets or more value or whatever. And then you go to Houston where they're just loaded with talent.
And Dell, I think, is going to be back. And maybe also Joe Mixon for their Week 5 game with the Bills, 1 o'clock on Sunday. Eric,
spoken like a true, Struggled like a true fantasy expert.
I mean, Eric, it is just a grind as usual right now. All these injuries, you know how it is. You're in the space. You know how it is. It's just grueling.
Yeah. One of my leagues, I have Christian McCaffrey and Rashee Rice, and I was trying to play the conservative long game by stashing T.J. Hockenson on my IR, and now I got three guys that essentially should be on my IR.
Do you have a quick thought on Davante Adams?
As far as...
like, has he played his last down for the Raiders, in your opinion? Would that be your guess?
I don't know. It's tough to say. I would say likely not, but... that's a situation that has not gone well there. And then you have him talking this offseason about, yeah, maybe I was wrong about Jordan Love. Like, yeah. A lot of people were, but a lot of us, our careers aren't directly affected by it.
Right. It's always the Jets with the speculation, but now Kansas City might come to mind for Adams if he has moved. Very good. Thank you, Eric. Enjoy your week, and we'll talk next Monday.
All right, appreciate it. You guys, too.
It's our man, Eric Wood, on the West Her Hotline. His appearances here on WGR are always brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com, and by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown.
Rice was the only Chiefs player to have double digits in receptions before yesterday. Kelce kind of returned. Rice was kind of playing that role, so Kelce, after the injury, ends up with 7 last night to get there. How many Bills have double-digit catches? 2. Shakir and Kincaid. Cook is 3rd with 9 through 4 games. 803-0550. How bad was it? What does it mean? Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. Football Monday continues after sports. Sal Capaccio will join us at 5. This is WGR.
And Lindor gets under one to center field. Harris going back. It's back near the wall.
Let's go Mets in the playoffs with that win. Game 2 soon to start in Atlanta. Braves have to have it or else it'll be Arizona in the playoffs, which start tomorrow. These are regular season games. I know you know this. You lived the 1978 extra game drama here. This is an extra game either. These are postponed games.
These are games that got washed out last week, midweek, I think, is what these are.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Kind of exciting. Gary Cohen right there.
Yep. Are the great Gary Cohen, I'm going to go with. I like him a lot as a player.
I just wish he could say third normally.
I don't think I've ever noticed this.
Okay. Don't worry about it.
Okay. Yeah, don't ruin him for me.
No, I'm sorry.
someone that does games on TV that I like.
Third. Say it with me. Third.
Yeah.
Now, you know, imagine saying it while holding your nose.
If the Braves get this game... like, you know, back spasms, right? Zach just had it. Sal's got it. Obviously, they need the game. So you should put your best foot forward to try to get the game. Unless you think maybe the Mets are not going to really try and you're saving Sal for tomorrow. But that's risky, obviously. I mean, they need to have this game. But
do you think that's what's happening? You have a recent history of questioning injuries.
I think it's possible anyway, because, you know, back spasms, all the kind of thing that could be better by tomorrow if they get in. And like, oh, look, Chris Sale's here. Let's dust him off and get him out there. And
well, you know what?
Furthermore, the Mets have clinched, so, you know, they'll just be trying to get through this game. You know, so maybe the Braves think, like, whatever, your name here is going to be pitching for you, so we'll get you, and we'll get you without Chris Sale. We'll save him for the playoffs.
Sale will tell you the truth.
Okay.
If they lose, he will tell you, because if he could have pitched, he's going to say that, because it looks like they're just saving him, or it could sort of look bad on him if he's like, are you really hurt, anything like that. He'll probably then be in a position. He doesn't hold back. He'll be in a position to say, like, yeah, I could have gone, but they thought they'd win without me or something like that.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm definitely in the weeds on this. I mean, I'm just, the whole thing today has just had, it's just rife for conspiracy theorizing. Did the managers meet, you know, underneath in the bowels of the stadium? And just like, okay, the way this first game went, it didn't look that way. I mean, what a wild game to have back and forth like that, especially just really late from the eighth inning on. It was a pretty crazy game. So I doubt that any of that happened, but the specter of it is hard to ignore. I mean, both teams win a game today. They're both in. Nod, nod, wink, wink. I don't know.
Yeah, I doubt it. You never know in baseball, right? Like, the White Sox could beat the Braves in one game.
Right.
Even the White Sox, who went 41-121.
Even the White Sox.
You know? So we'll keep tabs on that. Sal, coming up at 5. What about last night? How bad was it for your thoughts about the season overall, right? Like, there, you know, fans were really hyped after last week, with good reason. The Bills were making it look easy. They looked injury-proof, where no matter who came out of their lineup on defense, they were just fine. You know, it's early, but it's still, like, rare for a team to just be able to close out opponents by halftime. And the Dolphins were good, and the Jaguars were okay. So now you really do want to sort of recalculate all this, because not only is there a loss, and it was a big one by the Ravens, but the Ravens kind of were a team that people were sometimes ready to write off with the way their season started. And you can't do that at this point. The Ravens are favored, by the way, next week in Cincinnati by 2.5 as of now. That's interesting. So like the conference is different. The division maybe isn't. The Jets' loss to Denver is pretty brutal, but the Bills' loss was especially brutal.
The Bills' loss was brutal, and the Chiefs squeezing that game out in L.A. was particularly annoying, too. Because, I mean, they're 4-0, and like every one of their games has looked like, well, they could have lost that, but they find a way, right? Mm-hmm. they find a way, and they did. They really, you know, they got one really, I mean, it's Xavier Worthy, too, if you want him, one great Mahomes throw to Worthy, and you know that was enough. So you know that part of it, you know, I'm feeling that a little bit today, but the overall, you know, I what does it even say? Like, it depends on how they react to it. Like, what does next week look like and the week after that? I think they still have the opportunity to get off to they're already off to a great start. They went 3-1 in these games. If they can win these next two, you know, both AFC contending type teams, at least going into the season, the Jets looked pretty bad yesterday. And, you know, Houston hasn't been great. I mean, they tried everything to me that they could to give that game to Jacksonville yesterday. And Jacksonville just can't find their way. Lawrence can't hit open guys. It's just brutal. So, yeah, I think these three games are tough-looking games. But after watching everyone play here for 4 weeks, I don't feel like this Houston game nor the Jet game are the hardest games on the schedule or anything. Like, maybe it looked when the schedule came out. So I'm all right. I mean, it was tough to watch, and I think that's a very bad matchup moving forward. But you know, it's one game. So whether it was 16-13 or 35-10 eventually isn't really going to matter much, other than the fact that the Bills finally lost a game by more than 6 points, which they hadn't done since November of 21, which is insane. Other than that, I don't know. I'm inclined to just back to the drawing board and see if you can do what you've been doing against teams that aren't as good as Baltimore.
Which may or may not include this next game.
Right.
The Texans might be about as good. Just different. The Ravens are just different than everybody else, but that's not good enough to just sort of settle for that. And I get right back to, and Eric Wood said it for himself, get right back to whether or not these guys are interested or capable of a downfield passing game. I know that a lot of teams are struggling with that, even the Chiefs. Mahomes is at 900 yards for through four games. I mean, these paces, a couple of exceptions, but like Allen is on a pace. We were talking about this before the season with the prop bets in mind, because his number was really low for what his career has been. I forget if it was like 3,800 or if it was lower than that.
I think it was 3,700 is what I remember you saying.
I mean, he's been in the 4,000s for 4 years in a row. His pace now is 3,459. He's at 203 passing yards per game. They're 3-1, and that's not all of it. You know, how many passing yards you come up with, but I've never moved. I still think this is going to have to change for them on offense, or else they're going to struggle against teams that can stop James Cook. And that's with Allen, who even last night came up with a couple of incredible, you know, off-script plays. That's to be expected. We're used to that. But I don't know if they have what they're going to need, you know, to really be dangerous.
Yeah, the only really successful passing plays they had, I'm dismissing the balls that are thrown parallel to the line of scrimmage to Kincaid that he gets 7 yards on.
Yeah, good.
Okay. You've got the busted play where he's rolling, and just before he gets to the sideline, chucks it up 52 yards to Shakir. A great play, an incredible throw, but not a sign that your offense is running smoothly and on time, and that guys are winning their matchups and all that. I mean, it's a busted play. So, you know, credit to you for taking advantage of it, but it's not a good sign overall, I think. The other two, I think, and you know, forgive me if I'm skipping others. I mean, he did throw for 230 some yards, I think, in the game. But the two back shoulders to Coleman, like, and that's it. There just wasn't really a lot else. And you know, when they chose to draft Coleman, like, you know, back probably around this time last year is when I first started crushing on Keon Coleman watching Florida State play on Saturdays. I'm like, oh, look at this guy. I need a receiver. This guy's like Spider-Man, one-handed catch over the middle. Looks fantastic. As the year went on and we got to the draft process, like, not a separator, not fast. Like, I'm a little worried about him. Oh, but he's contested catch guy. He's end zone fade guy. Like, that's not how I want to run that's not my offense, you know? Like, it's good to do when you've got the right matchup and it's a piece of it, and that's great. But those two plays and a busted play where you're rolling out right and Shakir sneaks away from everyone being your only really good passing plays in a game is pretty stark. Like, you need a lot more than that to be, like, a contending-level passing team.
Let's get to Larry here. Hi, Larry.
Hey, guys. I'd like to get your opinion on this. Some of the fourth down decisions really shocked me yesterday. Like, the first drive, I thought was a gutsy call. Fourth and one, I can't remember if it was like the 38-yard or 39-yard line, which I applauded. They got it. Three plays later, fourth and two from midfield, and he decides not to go for it, which, again, I'm shocked. I mean, do the math. If they don't get it the first time, you're giving Baltimore the ball on your 38-yard line as opposed to the 50. So, and then later in that quarter, we're down 14-3. And again, this time it was fourth and one, I think around midfield again, and he decided to punt against a team like Baltimore the way we were playing and not stopping them. I just do not agree with ever punting in those situations, and I'd love to get your thoughts on that.
Man, I think it's fair. It was also the 39, the second one, where they went the first time.
Right.
But you have the first one right, midfield. It was longer, fourth and two officially.
Yeah, the first fourth and one was barely a one, right? Isn't that the one where Allen slid and they thought they had it and they moved it back? So, you know, whatever. Splitting hairs. I think exactly like the caller, like, oh, fourth and one at the 39. Oh, they're going for it. Okay, well, this is who he is now. This is where we're living now. Okay, great. What are we doing here at midfield now on fourth and two? Like, that I thought that was weird. That is a weird choice to make based on what amounts to a yard and a half difference. At least in what you needed to get. You were also 11 yards further up the field. I thought it was very odd.
It's interesting because while I agree, I would not want to be punting there either time – you know, fans also take that to a different level than I would care to in terms of like momentum and making statements, you know, first drive of the game, which is fine. I do think the extent to which McDermott has done this is being greatly exaggerated today. There are famous examples, and I think maybe the right conclusion is that the bigger the game, the more likely he is to punt. But I think that that's tricky because those are going to be closer games. Those are going to be against better teams, you know, that kind of thing where you might just think tougher to make it, whatever, different circumstances. So that's the best I can do. I mean, certainly there have been occasions with him where I'm right with you. Like, come on. The AFC Championship in 2020 was pretty egregious. But I think it gets overreacted to when they lose, which they almost never do. And other times this year where he has been more, quote, aggressive.
Well, they're just ignored.
It's just ignored.
Right.
Yeah, and that's the thing about fourth down. No matter who the team is, the announcers ignore it. Forget it when you make it. But when you don't, it's just, you know, Bill Cowher can't wait to tell you about what a bad decision it was. And that's how that goes. So I think it's fair enough today. I certainly was, what do we always say in here? What would the other team think? Oh, you're taking Josh Allen off the field at fourth and two with the 50? Thanks.
Right.
It's 14-3. Oh, you're taking him off the field and fourth and one? Thanks. We're happy. We would want you to punt. I mean, that's how I would look at it. And the data tends to support it, too, if you want to go that route. Sal, coming up at 5. Thanks for the call, Larry. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR. Football Monday. Welcome back. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, Sal Capaccio, coming up just after 5. We don't always ring Sal on a Monday. He's on a lot. I don't want to wear him out. But this was one of those games. What actually happened in this game, mm-hmm. Sal? You know, they win 35-10. We'll probably just talk to them on Wednesday.
Yeah.
But we might need the Sal signal for this one. What was that like? What? Explain it. Come on, Sal, explain it. He'll join us, as I said, in just a bit. First, let's go to Gina. Hi, Gina.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. It's always a pleasure turn you guys on as soon as I get out of work, and you guys always give me a chuckle. So thanks for listening.
Well,
this is what I want to say to you. Oh, you are welcome. It is my pleasure, and you always make me smile. So here's what I got to say, guys. And you know I'm always positive, but I'm realistic. And there's a question in this, but let me make my statement. And this is what I'm going to say. I love my Bills. I love Sean. I love Josh. I even love Stephon Diggs. Let's get over the drama, guys. If you keep it real here, I love what Stephon did for us, with us, when he was with us. And I wish him well. And I look forward for us to play him and his team, the hot 3-1 Texans. So this is what I want to say, okay? My question to you is, the Jags, the Cardinals, and Miami, right now, are any teams out there shaking in their boots that they're playing them? Would you answer yes or no?
I'd say no.
Okay, therefore, thank you, because now my point drives home, in my opinion. Now we go when we play the Texans, hot, 3-1. We just came off of Baltimore, right? This is what I want to remind you guys. I'm in Ravens country, all right? So I feel Baltimore Ravens here. Nothing but respect. And why, oh, why can we not figure out how to fix Derrick Henry? No matter what team and color he wears, he shreds us. So my point is this. We were outmatched. We were outplayed. Respect to Lamar. My point is this. 3-1 Texans and the Natty Jets. The Natty Jets that never freaking go away. They're just good enough to be in your face and get under our skin. And man, oh, man, do they get under our skin. So my thing is, we better show up, because if we don't, what are they going to say? Well, who they played wasn't really all that good, because when the rubber hits the road, they don't show up.
Well, that always happens. Thanks, Gina. I mean, that always happens. Doesn't really matter, you know? What matters is winning games. And 3 out of 4, I think, is pretty good. I definitely would have taken it before the season started. The whole thing, the whole 4 games, everything that's happened, I think is a win overall for the Bills so far, and then we'll see. But we knew they had a hard schedule, and they still do, I think. Thanks for the call. Sal, next. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, Football Monday on WGR.